come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Dr. Paul Grimm, Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on a free weekend event called Prayerfully Consider.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, check out Prayerfully Consider, October the 10th through the 12th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find out more by calling 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Choir of Wells Cathedral with the hymn Jerusalem the Golden. That's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Great thing about Lutheran Public Radio, not only that it's 24/7, 365 days a year, follows the course of the church year. We might as well call it, rather than sacred music for the world, we should call it sacred choral music for the world, because it's the best of the world's choir singing, the best of the church's music, and it's mostly choral music. Because the reason for church music is the text, is the message. And we understand that at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen anytime. Johann Gerhard is credited with being one of the most influential Lutheran theologians of his time, but he only lived 55 short years. But in those years, he accomplished things, well, more than most people accomplish in more than one lifetime. He'll be remembered by the church on the 17th of August tomorrow. Joining us to remember him today, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's translator of the devotional book Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhard. Pastor Harrison, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, how wonderful to be with you.
Before we get to the man of the day, Johann Gerhard, your reaction to some timely news, the election of Bishop Elizabeth Eaton as the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America this week.
Well, I really have tried basically to mind my own business regarding these churchly matters with the ELCA. Our dialogue with the ELCA is over. So it's really, I think this is a progression. I think she's an honorable person and certainly wants to do well, but we have profound differences biblically in every way, not least of which is women's ordination, but that's merely a symptom of historical critical method, which devalues the scriptures.
Why, if you don't mind saying, why is it that you can say the dialogue with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, speaking as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, why that dialogue is over? Go into a little more detail.
Well, there's just nothing to talk about, because once you accept the premise of the historical critical method, and that is basically each pastor, each scholar goes at the Bible and with the presupposition that it is full of errors and that opinions expressed, views expressed, are mere opinions of men in many cases, really that really precludes any kind of real Lutheranism, because Lutheranism is an assertion of the biblical truths that we hold, beginning with the gospel and then with the complete, all the doctrines and articles of the faith, which are intimately connected with the gospel. So you have really a different view of what the possibility of doctrine or teaching is. And so there really is not kind of a strong doctrinal position in the sense of historic Lutheranism. And so dialogue ends up being kind of a mushy discussion which delves constantly into ethical issues instead of the truth of God's word.
One more question in that vein, Matt, and that is, it has been recognized in the press, and it doesn't take a keen observation to notice that Presiding Bishop Mark Hansen's tenure over the last 12 years has seen the decline of that denomination, but also a very aggressive pursuit of innovations, both theologically and practically, with regard to human sexuality and other things as well. Do you think there's a possibility for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, given what you've said about their presuppositions, of at some time in the future turning it around and becoming once again, perhaps, at least nominally Lutheran?
God can do anything, and we all must constantly repent. So the possibilities of repentance are always there. And I say that with a profound sense of our many own warts and failings in the Missouri Synod. But the course that has been taken, and I believe it is a gross secularization of the faith, has sort of rendered the church as irreformable as papal pronouncements are irreformable.
The man of the day, of course, is Johann Gerhardt. You know him from actually dealing with his writings intimately. What is his greatest contribution, to kind of start that conversation? What's his greatest contribution to the church, Johann Gerhardt's?
Well, there's a saying, after Luther and Chemnitz, Gerhardt is the third, after which there is no fourth in the Lutheran church. And he's known for his, on the one hand, intense piety, and he wrote, bar none, the greatest devotional works in the history of the church, the greatest one, which is the Sacred Meditations, which are available in English translation. And they deal devotionally with the various topics of the faith. Lutheranism is all about the consolation of consciences and application of law and gospel, and he does that devotionally. Also, his greatest contribution, with literally hundreds of writings, his greatest contribution is the Lotzi Theologici, that is the theological commonplaces, which take up the topics of the faith, beginning with Scripture and what it is and how we know it, we know about God, and then moving to the Trinity, divine providence, election, Christ, the church, the sacraments, all the way through. There are about 22 volumes in the Lotzi, I believe, all the way through to the end times and eternal life.
So does that make him, kind of in technical terms, a systematician? Because the impression I always get of Gerhardt is of a distinctly pastoral approach to everything. You say there is also a more professional theologian to the man as well.
Yeah, his method follows that of Melanchthon and then Martin Chemnitz especially. And what he does is he just begins with the biblical language of the topic, and he runs he takes the word, say, church, and traces it through the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say about it. Then he takes the homonyms or cognates for use for the church, like Israel in the New Testament and other things, and he will explicate all of those and then set forth the entire teaching in its fulsomeness over usually hundreds of pages. Also, using quotations from the ancient fathers, he essentially invented the discipline of patrology, or the study of the ancient fathers, wrote a volume by that name. And then at the end, he's really noted for the kind of piety he has at the end. He's sort of the Aquinas of Lutheranism. Aquinas often ends a section of his study of doctrinal topics. Aquinas, the great Roman Catholic, 12th, 13th century. Aquinas will end with a devotional hymn or some kind of devotional aspect of that faith. Gerhardt ends each topic with the ouzu, the use of the topic. So on the church, I've got the volume on the church opened here, and he notes the use of this commonplace on the church, that we discern the true church from those which aren't the church, the true church, that we give due thanks to God for this holy calling into the church, that having been listed among the citizens of the church, we live a holy life worthy of our calling, that we may faithfully nourish concord in the church, which is the house of God, that we may reverently submit ourselves to the pious and honorable regulations that are proposed in the church, and stir up no scandals, and maintain unity, and that we embrace with firm faith the promises of the preservation of the church, and may ask to be preserved in her fellowship until the end of our life, that we may share in the lot of the saints of God. Beautiful stuff.
How did he have time to do that? I mean, he has a relatively short life. He lived to be 55, which is considered today to be a very brief life.
Well, he cut his TV time down radically, basically. Yeah, I wonder, too. I mean, the output is just amazing, and he was very sickly from youth on. In his teens, he went to the university to begin studying medicine, went to several different universities, and he was heavily influenced by his pastor at Quedlinburg, who was Johann Arndt, kind of the great proto-pietist Lutheran mystic, who was essentially Orthodox but had some kind of medieval mystical tendencies that were questionable. But Gerhard was heavily influenced by that, and through the course of illness became convinced that he needed to study the medicine of the soul theology. And he just devoted his life to this in the midst of many difficulties, in the midst of the death of wives, the death of probably half a dozen of his children, much of his family, his brothers and sisters predeceased him. So I don't know. I mean, it must have been just a thoroughly, on the one hand, must have had some kind of holy obsession with the Word of God. In doing this, too, he was also the superintendent or the bishop for 10 or more years of churches, whole state churches in Saxony. So he writes a whole church order, that is all the liturgy and all the regulations for dealing with pastors and controversy in the church and everything else. He even writes that for his Duke John Casimir. We have that. So I don't know how he did it, but it must have been a holy passion of his.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard. More with him after this.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues, etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. We're talking about 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard. Matt, before the break, you had mentioned there that he has one of his influences is Arndt, who is a kind of one of the first pietists. It's a movement that has caused a lot of mischief in Lutheranism and outside of Lutheranism since. Make the distinction, if you would, between the Christian piety that Johann Gerhard practiced and engendered and the error of pietism. I often say we shouldn't surrender piety to the pietists. What's the difference between the two?
No. Well, the difference basically is that there is, as the Small Call article says, Luther says, there is an innate, natural fanaticism in all of us. And that fanaticism seeks to know God and what God says apart from his word, to try to find surety in our own revelations or our own spiritual wrestlings or our own prayers, to dream up our own ideas about God and quite apart from what the Bible actually says. And then also pietism tends to be very Pharisaic. It will fool itself into thinking it has achieved a level of sinlessness which is above others, becomes very condemnatory of others who aren't occupying or using the same method for achieving piety. It tends to be a hyper-individualistic kind of look into the self to see that you're progressing along in piety and you've had certain defined conversion experiences along the way. And it's all a kind of a radical, but certainly not new, look into the self, quite apart from Lutheranism's extra nos, that is Christ. The important things of the faith all happen way before us and outside of us in Christ.
So Johann Gerhard, while he sits there historically and is influenced by, as you said, probably one of the leaders of or the first of that movement of pietism, is no pietist.
No, he is no pietist. There's no doubt about that. He is he's deeply pious, and his meditations are just glorious. He has a warm Christian piety. He's known as a person who is upright. He's just in his dealings and his advice to princes. He's on his deathbed. He, even though he had suffered the loss of his estate in the Thirty Years' War, by the end of the Thirty Years' War, it was sort of bellum omnia contra omnes, that is a war of everybody against everybody. It wasn't just Catholics against Lutherans. So the Swedes run through and destroy his estate, and then shortly thereafter the Catholics come and destroy the Catholics. Emperor's army comes and destroys more of it. And even at the end, though, as he's dying, he makes sure that he gives a bequest to his church, and also he gives money to the poor in thanksgiving for God's merciful care for him.
Talk about that. He stands, as you've already noted, as kind of a living exemplar of a theologian of the cross, as Luther would have called it. Talk mm-hmm. about that kind of cruciform shape of Gerhard's life.
Oh my, yeah. He suffers a lot with, obviously there's some kind of infections that were going on and various plagues and things, but he has his biography, which we do have in English thanks to Repristination Press, The Life of John Gerhard by Fisher. He repeatedly struggles with high fever, intestinal problems, deep illness, and this last fever will last for months at a time. All of that drives him, just like his initial illness drives him to Jesus in a very, very profound way, and it drives him to recognize his own terrible sinfulness and, at the same time, the freeing joy of knowing Christ. So you just, if you never read any other devotional literature of Lutheranism, you've got to get the Sacred Meditations or Meditations on Divine Mercy, which yours truly made a feeble attempt to put from Latin into English.
What did you learn in translating that work, that devotional work of Johann Gerhard?
Oh, Gerhard concentrates on the objective acts and works of Christ. And so just he goes through consolation. he talks about what is prayer first off, and then he deals with the seriousness of sin, remembering sins of youth, daily lapse into sin, life contemplated according to the first table of the law, life contemplated according to the second table, participation in the sins of others. All creation convicts us of sin. Contrition convicts us of the seriousness of sin. God's deeds of kindness testify to the gravity of sin. The severity of divine wrath against sin considered in the passion and death of Christ. Thanksgiving for life and birth. Thanksgiving for preservation. Thanksgiving for redemption through Christ. Thanksgiving for Christ's incarnation. Thanksgiving for Christ's suffering. Thanksgiving for the calling through the Word. Thanksgiving that God awaits our conversion, thanksgiving for conversion, thanksgiving for the forgiveness of sins, thanksgiving for preservation and doing good, thanksgiving for all the goods of soul, body, and property, thanksgiving for the sacrament of baptism, thanksgiving for the sacrament of the altar, thanksgiving for protection from evil, and it just goes on and on.
So do you think that Gerhard, since you said at the beginning, has been observed of him, that he is the third after which there is no fourth, mm-hmm. does he mark a, this kind of sensitive question, does he mark a golden age, at least personally, for Lutheran Orthodoxy?
Well, it certainly was a golden age. A lot of people have complained that with the Formula of Concord 1577 and Book of Concord 1580, you have a diversion from Lutheranism, original Lutheranism, into something else, increasingly a kind of Lutheranism that is dogmatic and ruled by Aristotelian philosophical categories. We in the Missouri Synod disagree with that completely and say that Chemnitz and the Formula of Concord and Gerhard, who carries on the tradition, are merely the most articulate proponents of the genuine biblical and Lutheran faith.
So they show us what Lutheran theology is at its best?
Absolutely, and it's not about systematizing things and trying to make contradictory things, things that appear contradictory in the Bible, harmonize. It's about letting the Bible have full sway in every single way and then racking the history of the church to find the greatest insights among the early fathers and everybody all through who has insights into the profound truths of the Bible.
Do we need a Johann Gerhard today?
We could always use one, there's no doubt about it. In fact, we have one today. CPH has been publishing his Lotzi one after another. Ben Mays is along with bringing out fresh translations of Martin Luther for the Luther's Work series. Ben Mays is just putting out volume after volume. We have the volumes on the Office of the Ministry, two volumes, and we have this huge volume on the church, which is about 800 pages. And by the way, Walther in his Church and Ministry book, which is official doctrine of the Missouri Synod, Walther simply says, I don't mean to replace those great tomes on the church and ministry of Gerhard and Chemnitz. I refer the whole church to them. They are authoritative. But I'm trying to deal with questions that have come up today. So there's a quasi sort of confessional or quasi authoritative status of Gerhard today. And we have his writings today. We are living, despite the fact that the world is becoming ever more radically secularized and the church is becoming more secularized, we live in an era where we have access to more and great writings of the golden age of Lutheran Orthodoxy than ever before.
So, if you would, could you share one of your favorite quotes from the 17th century Lutheran theologian and pastor Johann Gerhard?
Yeah, give me about 3 or 4 minutes here. Here's the severity of divine wrath against sin considered in the passion and death of Christ. O holy God, just judge, I see your Son hanging on the cross, streams of blood flowing freely. I look at him and behold, I become weak with terror. Those cruel nails are my sins with which I have pierced his hands and feet. Those horrible thorns are my sins with which I have crowned his holy head, the head worshipped and honored by angelic powers. Those sharply pointed lashes are my sins with which I have scourged his faultless body, the permanent temple of divinity. A terrible beast tore to pieces this heavenly Joseph and stained his robe with blood. I, a wretched sinner, am that terrible beast because my sins rushed in mass against this beloved Son. If this your obedient servant suffers in anguish because of the sins of another, what will be meted out to disobedient and wayward children because of their sins? Truly the wounds of my soul must be great and deadly if they can only be healed because your only begotten Son is so wretchedly struck down. Truly, the disease of my soul must be great and deadly if it can only be cured because the heavenly physician, life itself, dies on a cross.
Matt, what can we learn today from Johann Gerhard? What should we learn from him?
I think the most profound thing to learn is a love, an incessant love, an obsession with Holy Scripture. That with Christ at the center, that all of our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our meditation, all of our prayers, through all of our trials and challenges in life, that this one thing, this article of Christ and free forgiveness, rack our brain constantly and drive us at every turn.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's translated the devotional book, Meditations on Divine Mercy, by Johann Gerhard. You can find out more about Meditations on Divine Mercy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can purchase this great devotional book, Meditations on Divine Mercy, translated by Pastor Matt Harrison and written by Pastor Johann Gerhard, by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Matt, thanks for your time.
Thanks. God bless.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about God sending the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The famous Pentecost will be our subject on Monday with Pastor Tom Baker. Folks, there's still time for you to order an audio DVD with 8 hours of audio from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We will send you this DVD, this audio DVD, for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Now, you can place your order online. Just look for the DVD logo of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. We are indebted to men like Johann Gerhard, who in a lot of ways gave their life for the faith once delivered to the saints. They received it, they lived it, they understood it, and then, amazingly, leaving this legacy of writing behind him, they were able to communicate it not only to their generation, faithfully, but to our generation. Yes, we need more Johann Gerhards. It's a good thing that God was good enough to give us one of them. And through his writing, he's still with us today and well remembered. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.